think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
La 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 la
la la la la la la.
Yeah.
It's time for Moneyline, your place to be for the madness of March, with your host, Kevin Walsh.
The cap is still there. The price is still good. I'm going to bet this. I went a little 3-0 on a three-pack of college basketball. It was a nice weekend in that way. I mean, look, I'm an eligible bachelor, so.
And Donnie Wrightside.
Now, hold, like, I love Slander. Like, Slander is so much fun. Like, nobody was defending the wideout. What a 15-yard out. Like, thank God. Like, I don't think I could make it in this world anymore. 1 minute, I'd be like, I'm out of questions for this. Girl, I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, what did you think about the game last night? That's minute number two already.
On Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159.
We are dancing again. Thursday show edition. I'm excited, K-Dub. It's Moneyline. The people out there, they want to know, who are we rolling with tonight? How are we going to break these games down? How much fun are we going to have? And also, how late is DRS staying up tonight? That's the question.
Now, that is a good question.
Yeah,
do you attack that topic right away, or do you store that away? I mean, because that is a hot button issue right there that I hadn't even considered.
Yeah, and here's the problem. Like, there's a little bit of futures riding on tonight's games and some fun. Tomorrow is a Friday, so maybe you can say, you know, suck it up for one night. I got an answer for you right away on this. There's no way I'm going to see the tip time for Gonzaga UCLA. I mean, that's for sure. But I do really, you know, looking forward to that Arkansas-Connecticut game from a multitude of standpoints. But I feel like sort of, dang, like why can't that Gonzaga-UCLA game be like the Friday night game or on Saturday? Because that game is going to be so much fun, and I'm not going to even whiff that first, you know, tip-off at that game. No shot.
Yeah, like someone actually say to me, why is the best game in the, like, the Sweet 16 on a 10 p.m. Thursday night? Yeah. And you can try and say, oh, they're two West Coast teams, but these, we're now kind of beyond locations, right? Type of thing like that. That's not really all too relevant. How can we also ditch kind of the early games as soon as we get to the Sweet 16? What's that about?
Yeah, it's so important that you don't, like, mix and match games that now, like, hey, you know, throw them all together. Just put them all in there in prime time and have people fight it out on which game they actually want to watch. I don't know what the reasoning is, but I'm pretty sure the people making the decisions didn't just say, I think this makes some sense. Like, no, there's a formula for why these games are being played this way and not let you say 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just kind of, it's two game sessions, and like you said, I'm not sure really what it is, but like part of the draw of March Madness is last week at this time there were games on, so it's interesting that we then a week later, it's like, yeah, we're going to play every game on at the same time.
No, I know. And you sort of fit. Now, granted, in this day and age, it's not really that hard to make sure you find, like, you know, channels that you want and stuff. But it is interesting. It's sort of endearing, though, also, because they're all good games. It's like the NFL on a Sunday, right? Like, hey, man, it's a lot of good games at 1 o'clock, a couple at 4 o'clock. Like, we're used to watching it spread out all the way through. But there might have been a charm, though, to, hey, you know what? Let's run this thing back on Thursday and Friday. You know, 12 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and then 8 o'clock, something like that. That would be awesome in the afternoon, but then nobody would get any work done, I guess. So who knows?
Maybe they expand to, you know, 128 teams. And that way we just got an extra round of insane game totals. You know what I mean? Yes. Pump up the volume.
No, that's what I liked about the best, too, is for some reason, we are so built as like a society to hate on like new stuff, even though we would love it. Like, man, more teams in the baseball playoffs. That's terrible. I liked it when nobody made the playoffs except for one team for me. You know what I mean? Like I have a feeling like some, because you see it now, like, 68 is plenty. You put 98 in there. You're telling me we're going to get more basketball games? I don't want that. What? Are you like, I don't even understand like some of the angles that the people play on that.
Well, look again. Go 90 teams is just like such an insane number. But I guess to the point, there's 363 eligible teams every year. So 90's not actually, no, I'd have to look this up. Does college basketball have the fewest by percentage of teams that make it other than college football?
I don't know. Yeah, that's an interesting topic, though. I'm not sure of that there. But I did see, like, there was a reason. The reason behind it is they wanted to make sure it was, like, what, 25% of the team? Something got in there, which technically does make sense, though. Mm-hmm. Like, you have three, like, think of the way we view, Kevin, professional sports. Let's just go with the NFL, right? 32 teams, 14 make it in the playoffs. And I love every bit of that. That's close to 50%. So why would we be hating on, like, March Madness if they want to get 100 teams in out of 363?
Yeah, it's because it's just such an astronomical number. I think part of the other reason is, if I right now made you name every NFL team, you could. Every NBA team, you could. Every baseball team, you could. 363, yeah. How many college basketball teams can you name? And your whatever your number is, know that that's probably far higher than most people, right? So yeah. I think that would be the answer.
Yeah, and again, I'm not, I love, 68 teams is perfect. If they went to 74, 84, I would be fine with it as well. And again, for me, being a curmudgeon on a lot of things, I don't hate that. It's like even like the NFL, like, oh, they're adding another wild card? Maybe the greatest thing they've ever done in the NFL. Like, what are we talking about here? In baseball, do you remember the 2020 pandemic season where everybody got in the playoffs? Yeah, that stunk. Yeah, that really stunk. More games. You had like 7 games on a playoff day, afternoon right through night. I don't like that. I like when there's one game on. Stop the madness. We'll be right back. More madness on the way. Right here on Money.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in the Money Line, our number one, SiriusXM channel 159. The phone line's open as usual, 844-843-6879. If you wondered where the last 20 minutes of yesterday's show went, we do too, because we had so much energy that we broke the network here. So make sure you get your phone calls in earlier as you were probably trying to dial in. Hey, man, where's your show at? At least let me get on there by myself. Now, as we talk about broken shows, Kevin, we've been in the content game, you for a couple months, me for decades.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that true? Is that not true? I mean, come on.
I mean, especially in the eyes of Sports Grid, I mean, you're basically, because that's all that matters is Sports Grid. I mean, you're basically a young pup. I've been teaching the ropes for a while now.
I mean, some people are saying like the only reason the early line continued is because your boy came in here, but we'll leave that for another day. Now, you know SVP, right? I love SVP. Scott Van Pelt, fantastic. I loved Russillo and Van Pelt. Russillo went his own way. Van Pelt, superstar, almost gets that same feel of like, you know, Mike and Mike in the Morning, where Greenberg's like, yeah, I want out of this thing, and gets his own thing, and he's a star there and keeps going. But last night, something happened. The reason I can, you know, the people listening will like this story. Maybe they probably already saw it or heard about it through social media or actually watched SportsCenter last night. Kevin, they opened up the show yesterday. And, you know, the SVP Sports Center is him, and then Stanford Steve comes in, sits next to him. They kick it. It's a great show because it's not Sports Center, even though it is. They just riff and have fun and go over highlights, make some jokes, get an interview in. And it's great television. It really is. Kevin, halfway through the show, his voice gave out. Gone.
No.
Gone. When I tell you about it, it was almost like from the start of the show, every 5 minutes, you're like, ooh, is he like sick or something? He kept explaining, I'm not sick, but I've never had this before. I lost my voice. So his voice is getting weaker as the show goes on to the point where, Kevin, like highlights are run. He's going, I got nothing.
Oh, my gosh.
But nobody came in for him. And like Stanford Steve was still there, but he was probably like, I'm not taking the show over. And he gutted out, like, I'm telling you, Kevin, 15 minutes of live TV where you didn't know if the next word you were just going to lose it completely. You could barely understand him, and all he did was gut out. And he was on Twitter. He was like saying, hey, guys, you know, thanks for keeping up with me, but we tried to gut that one out. Out the flu game, like, tremendous stuff over here. But at the same time, a couple of people said, hey, you know what? We know you weren't sick to start the show. You said you weren't sick, and you're like, man, I never had just my voice give way where I couldn't talk. But ESPN has thousands of employees, and not to say that they're on call and like it's a Broadway show, right? You could just go run back out there and change chairs. But it was wild to see where he was. It wasn't like, Kevin, you could just take a drink of water like you're coughing. He didn't have a voice anymore and still did like an extra 20 minutes.
So that is a very... I'm trying to, you know, think back through my many, many moons of, you know, repetitions and history, right? So I've been dealing with a nonsensical cough for a little while now, as you've got a real kick out of. But as you said, like, if all of a sudden I tapped you on the shoulder during this show today and I'm like, DRS, the cough got me, you wouldn't be like, huh? Like, knew that was coming. Because you find it funny now because you keep telling me I'm old and this cough is going to stay forever.
Yeah,
I did have one. It was a solo. I was calling like a radio game or a soccer game for like a radio broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, but I had to drink, honestly, maybe 6 water bottles to get through the game. It was just like every time I talked, it was just my voice was completely drying out. Like, I don't know if they don't have water over there in the building or something, but, man, that sounds like a real extreme end of it.
Yeah, because like, with the time, like, in the afternoon, I don't use my cough button at all. Like, I don't need it because, you're not on camera, but my voice is warmed up from doing, you know, a few hours of video combined in the morning and you get loose. But if I didn't have, like, if I don't have my cough button on the morning show, I must hit that thing 35 times a show to clear my throat. Now, I'm not sick, but it's just that your voice isn't warmed up to keep firing. And also at the same time, the minute you get done talking, I push the cough button just to clear my throat to make sure the next time I talk, it's not there. Because I've been on air before going, you know what? You can't just clear your throat when you're by yourself repeatedly on TV. So you get that feeling, then it creeps in the back of your mind. Oh, no, let me clear it now. That didn't work. Now I'm here just coughing. I need to take a drink of water. I mean, we've all been in that spot. But never before is it like, hey, guys, I need a lifeline. Hey, keep the cameras rolling here. This is fantastic stuff.
But, you know, a little explain yourself. I would personally be sending Steve's way. I'm struggling here. I'm tapping you on the arm, and you can't pick me up and carry me across the finish line?
Yeah, you don't have to get us in and out of breaks per se, but hey, look, the highlights are up here. Just give me a couple minutes for it, like, or just give me a minute so I can like save up and be like, oh, that was a great game, and then like you talk again. But I mean, I watched it because it comes on back to back in the morning. I watched it through the first like 15 minutes, and you could slowly hear it like go downhill. But I wanted to hear it like at the beginning of the show. I was like, wow, like this was not something where it's like, hey, you know what? Let's make this call 5 minutes before the show. Guys, I don't have a voice. I can't go on. This was my voice is fine. All of a sudden, oh no, I don't know what's happening here. But they're like, yeah, we're not calling anybody, and nobody's saving you, and you got another 20 minutes, pal.
Yeah, I don't even understand how. Here's my thing, though. You either have your voice or you don't. Like, I don't necessarily, like, I mean, again, I say this as someone that, I mean, people heard me out at, like, the Super Bowl, right? I mean, I know you can gut through it, but I haven't seen the clip, obviously. This sounds like the extreme end where it's like, there's no gutting through this. I just can't talk. Like,
Enjoy these highlights, and then I'll let you know when we're back from break. I don't even know, like, how you find that balance of it there, which is the very nice thing about doing a show with someone who you can throw to. Mm-hmm. DRS very rarely has ever, like, tapped me on the shoulder, but the rare times and vice versa.
Yeah, it's like we I actually get a kick out of it. Like, as long as it's not me, I get a kick out of it. Like, oh no, my voice is going. But as long as Kev's voice is going, I mean, it's all good in the atmosphere. And throw that spotlight on me, I'll carry the show and get it going here. And that's the way I like to see it. You know what I mean? So it's the way we get down. Let's get to the phone lines here. 844-843-6879. Gary from Texas on the line on a Thursday. Gary, what you got?
Well, nothing much. I was loving hearing you talk about, Scott Van Pelt and everything. You know, one of the sections, I know y'all have talked about it before, and maybe there's another show, but I know you've talked about it. I love the Monday night during the football season, actually almost any time, the Bad Beats section. I mean, it reminds me of things maybe I lost that week, but that's absolutely incredible, the Bad Beats section that he has. And then he's usually on Sunday night. Now, I haven't listened quite so much. I didn't hear last night, but, I mean, I do love me some Scott Van Pelt. And one more thing. I was going to tell you on the Twitter sphere, they're talking about, the morning line and everything. And I never see y'all on TV, so I don't know which is which, but they mentioned that one of you has hot takes and the other guy wears glasses. So, I don't know which one that is. Yeah, I know. That's what I heard, believe it or not.
Yeah.
That's the power of the people talking right there.
It is. I mean, that's what generally people understand the morning show to be. One guy bringing that heat, the other guy who's like a friend of the program. Yeah.
And we all need friends, so that's good.
There you go. Oh, Gary, by the way, who you got in basketball tonight? Got any thoughts? give me a winner tonight.
Yeah, I'm about to fade this pick. Go ahead.
Winner tonight. Let me get my exact thing out here. Okay, yeah, because that plays tomorrow night. I'm going to go ahead and take Gonzaga tonight. I mean, they do play tonight, correct?
Yeah, it's a good game. It is a good game. 1.5
points. Oh, yeah. I like Gonzaga tonight, and I like Michigan State. Yeah, those are kind of my two picks for tonight. You don't have to bet everything, but you can, of course. Yeah. But so I don't really bet every game.
There we go. So a little Sweet 16 action there from Gary. By the way, that Michigan State game, Kev, I'm coming around on Michigan State. I hate that team, but I can't let my hatred get in the way where I think they win this game. When looking at my brackets, probably shouldn't win it, but I think they do. Michigan State on Broadway, man.
You get to that point in the calendar. Like, do I really care about my brackets as anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's the way it is here. That's the way it's going to be. Hour number one flowing through college basketball, NBA action. Hot topics, it's right here. Keep it. SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Money Line with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Oh, you are locked into the Money Line. Get ready, people, because why? Sweet 16 tonight and tomorrow. What a Thursday, Friday, as we move forward to getting closer and closer to crowning a national champion here. Now, tonight, game one, 6:30 p.m. from the Garden, Michigan State, Kansas State, 7:15, Arkansas, Connecticut, out there on the West Coast, which is actually Vegas 2 hours behind or three? I don't always get that confused. It's got to be
two,
right? I think isn't Arizona two?
And Arizona is too. Vegas maybe like depend? Like, does Nevada depend on the city? Obviously, which then you're just asking Vegas. But is it one of those?
Not Vegas is three. Right? Yeah, because I sometimes get that confused. I think it's Arizona. Arizona, I don't think even does. It's like daylight savings. I want to say right. Yeah, something. It's just odd like that. But okay, 4:15 started on the West Coast, Arkansas, Connecticut, then back to the East Coast, Florida Atlantic, and Tennessee. And Gonzaga and UCLA 9:45 start out there on the West Coast. I'm going to enjoy the, like, because again, when the later you get in the season, the playoffs, this is basically what it is, right? Like, the NFL playoffs are sensational. The hockey playoffs, great. Baseball playoffs, great. NBA playoffs, great. This is what we look forward to, and this is like that sweet spot this week, right? The excitement of last week, yeah, some teams probably technically shouldn't be in the tournament have played. We did see some upsets, granted, but you feel like you're getting the best punches now, like the heavyweights. Now, granted, you say, well, Donnie, Florida Atlantic's in Princeton. I get that. There's always going to be those type of teams. But you feel like you're getting the creme de la creme this week, and we should get some good action. And again, looks like we're getting rewarded, especially tonight, Kevin. FanDuel Sportsbook, Michigan State, -1.5. Connecticut, -4.5. Tennessee, -4.5. Gonzaga, UCLA, 1.5. Like, we're not getting the, hey, 17.5, 22.5. So we're expecting to get some really good games tonight.
Absolutely, right? You know, the biggest line, there's a 15 seed here, so you're flirting with one line near double digits, right? Batman, Houston are strong favorites, but they've been viewed as these, you know, such elite basketball teams. And again, all you can do is get to that 7.5 there. Yeah, you see tonight's slate, right? It's like, woof, what's your upset here? A 4-point team winning? I got, you know, a 4-point dog? It's not even, you know, monstrous in that way. So, which is great. It provides a lot of exciting basketball. It does, though, continue to beg the question that you have kept kind of asking this week, almost in passing, of, hey, what's the upset? What's the result that's still... Because one upset will shock, right?
Yeah.
And in some way, like, Michigan State, Kansas State, neither team is the is even eligible, basically, on an answer sheet there, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So that's where it gets really, really interesting.
Yeah, it does. And you know, totals here, 138.5, 139.5, 129.5, 144.5. So we're not getting those space cadet games, I like to call them, like 155 or higher, just crazy up and down action. So right in that sweet spot, a little bit slower there in Florida Atlantic, Tennessee. And that's the game. If I'm looking at every game, Kevin, Michigan State, Kansas State, it's not saying like, oh, I'm going to take the easy way out. That's a coin flip. And I'm actually leaning more towards Michigan State as I look at it. But again, you look at these numbers, you can fight and make a great argument for both teams. Neutral court, it's basically a pick 'em. When I look at that Florida Atlantic, Tennessee game, it's one of those outcomes where I go, Florida Atlantic just beat Tennessee. I go, yeah, that's a pretty good basketball team, man. See how many wins they got, how many times they covered the spread, Vegas maybe not catching up with them per se. And then I could be like, okay, Tennessee 60, Florida Atlantic 49. I'm like, yeah, well, what did you expect? It's Tennessee, the best defense going against a non-Power 5 school. I'm having trouble with that one, which is why I'm actually most interested technically in that game, because I do have a little bit on Florida Atlantic at 5.5. It's fascinating to me, like, because I honestly don't know what's going to happen, and I want to tune in and just cheer for FPL. Like, yeah, that's right, Tennessee. You're not just going to roll them by 15 points because you're an SEC team.
Yeah, so for me, I have, you know, I use kind of, I don't have a system as narrowed in the way that you do on KenPom, right? You have 4 or 5 categories you always talk about that you really, really trust. For me, and it's not as if I've perfected it, right? But I try and take teams that are elite in a category. Some are obviously elite in both offense and defense, but there's plenty of teams in college basketball that are really elite on one end of that. And then I like to see how a team or a specific player performs against that type of opponent, right? So for FAU, it would be, all right, let me see how their best player or how they as a team has performed against elite defenses. They haven't played any. They played one. It was North Texas. And, I mean, the game was an under, right? But, first of all, a one-game sample size is never going to be enough for really anything, right? And, secondly, North Texas is one of the biggest anomalies in college basketball. Luckily, not that I couldn't have noticed this myself by looking at it, but thanks to you, I'm more than familiar with North Texas, knowing 50-46, that game might have just snuck under the total, right, with the way that team plays basketball there. So I currently have no bets in FAU and Tennessee, and I might not have any. It's just one of those things where I don't have enough of a sample size of FAU playing a team that is comparable at all, really, to the Vols.
Yeah, no, I believe that there. It's a tough one to gauge because, again, it's one of those games where you say to yourself, like, yeah, Tennessee was supposed to blow them out. Or that's why Florida Atlantic's there. You didn't believe in them, and they're a really good basketball team. They won outright over Tennessee. It'll be interesting, obviously, to see how that plays out. UConn here, that 4.5-point number now at the FanDuel Sportsbook. I did take a parlay also, money line, that starts tonight. I did take UConn on the money line and paired it up with Texas on Friday. And again, playing off these teams where I have them to advance, it's nice because I'm almost at the point, too. I'm not thinking about hedging anything, which would mean like, okay, why don't I take $50 money line and go Arkansas or $50 money line and, you know, take Xavier per se against Texas. I'm not there yet. I don't want to do that because I'm in control right now, right? Like, I have the two teams that are favored by close to 5 points. And I do think those two teams are better and let them roll out. I just want to see if it gets interesting where, let's just say UConn wins tonight, Texas wins, Alabama wins. Will I be tempted? Because I do like to hedge bets, but I feel like I'm already have sort of a hedge bet because I can't win three of these bets. I can only win one of them. And it'll be interesting to see if like Alabama lines up against Texas, let's per se, in the final, what I would do with that. Because you're technically hedged anyway, because you're going to get plus money no matter what happens. That's the goal, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but and obviously, I mean, look, you more than know what you're doing, but obviously for anybody out there that maybe hasn't got down in March Madness futures, right, it's not that you're able to hold up an Alabama ticket at the end and say, oh, bang, I just won $800, right? There's cost that you have to factor in with the other tickets that you already played. So yeah, we can't just start grabbing Xavier money line and San Diego State money line.
Now hold on, I didn't win any money and Alabama won. Like that was the hell was the goal?
I went $20.
I lost money in Alabama won. Congratulations, Donnie.
Exactly. Now the one thing is, and it's not that it's a bad thing, right? But odds are you will not get all three teams into the next round.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
But it's such a weird thing to say. Somehow, odds are you won't get all three teams into the next round, but you have three, relatively speaking, decent-sized favorites here in this round. Like, you really should get two teams into the Elite Eight, which I think you would have taken right at the beginning of the round of 64.
Yeah, the best case scenario is everybody gets to the Final Four, but obviously, you know, things play into that. Upsets happen. Even if you, again, you say, hey, you know, I love this, Kevin. To take all number one seeds to get to the Final Four. Well, or get to win it, right? You say, well, I'm already down two, and that's the number one seeds.
Yep.
So you're trying to play it off as what your price you were going to get and also the type of matchups that you would get. So I'm happy. If you would have told me before the tournament started, hey, Donnie, you're going to have three teams in the Sweet 16, all three favored by 5-plus points, that's perfect. Because what's the scenario you're usually looking at? All right, I got three teams left, two are 5-point underdogs. Like, oh, no. Like, I'd be lucky to get one team in the Final Four, and I'm not looking at it that way. Would love it. Give me three teams in the Final Four, awesome. Get me two. Like, if I just had, let's just say, Texas and Alabama there, like, okay, I would deal with that. Would love to get more than that in there, but we'll see what happens. But I'm at that point where it's like, okay, do I actually want to throw, like, say, you know what? Ooh, you know, let me throw $100 on Houston. Just to make sense, like, you know what I mean? Just to have like a backup plan in case Texas gets dumped by Houston, and then I'm not so mad if Houston ends up knocking off like Alabama or something like that.
Yeah, I think like you said, you're not at that point yet. Because also, even though we both just said odds are one of them loses, maybe not. I mean, you could be flirting with nearly 50% of the field in the Elite Eight, right? So, yeah, I don't think you're in as good of a position as you know, you could have reasonably expected with all these games. You didn't. The one thing is, I will say, because and mainly because I respect Arkansas a lot, you didn't get a lot of breaks. I don't think, at least. Maybe you could argue Bama avoiding either Arizona or Baylor, but Creighton is far better than a six. We know that. Arkansas is much better than an eight. We know that, right? Yeah. Texas is playing the three seeded Xavier. And it's just, you have monsters on the other end of it there. But, I mean, that's the tournament, though, right? What were you going to play? Oh, double-digit seeds the entire way.
Yeah, no, you're right. By the way, quick updates here. Major League Baseball news. Spring training, Rhys Hoskins carried or driven off the field on a cart. Looks like a bad left knee injury for him. So maybe losing a good player before the season even starts. Looks like that's going to happen. Whether or not you played in the WBC, whether or not you're washing your car, a preseason game, exhibition game, spring training, that could be a tough injury for the fight and fill. So we'll keep an eye on that here. And also news coming through. By the way, the Giants made a signing here of Jamison Crowder, which I don't mind. Very low risk, high reward. I was always a Jamison Crowder guy, too. Ooh. Even leaving the Jets. Just didn't work out in Buffalo. Got injured. So, interesting stuff all the way through.
Big news coming out, though, Donnie. Big news coming out.
Ah, Bronny. Yeah, it's like Bronny out for the year. Whoa.
No, wait, what are you
is that what I was reading?
What are you doing?
Is that what I was reading here? We'll be back. What is this LeBron news?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're getting some news here across the wire a couple different ways. Doesn't look good from Rhys Hoskins' angle here. Maybe a devastating knee injury, which might sideline him for the season. Don't want to speculate, but never good when the EMTs come out, Kevin. Everybody's down on one knee, and the cart comes out, and you get driven away. That's usually not a good sign here. Secondarily here, behind Rhys Hoskins, because that's the top injury news of the day, LeBron James with some injury news here. Looks like the Los Angeles Lakers star hopes to make his return in the final few games of the regular season. So there you go. Bron coming back, and Austin Reeves, like, why? What's the point here?
Okay, which, by the way, apparently, like, that someone out there basically, we don't need to name names, has, like, a clip circulating where they're like, what exactly do you do now that LeBron could be on his way back with how good Austin Reeves is playing, which is obviously knuckleheaded nonsense there. As far as the thing goes with LeBron, one thing that does catch the eye, obviously, very open-ended, very in terms of, like, no real date, right? LeBron wants to play in the final few games. That doesn't do much, and I think that will be a moving target based on how much they think they actually need him, which, again, you and I talked this morning. It's a light schedule coming up. It's a, I shouldn't say light schedule because that makes them sound better than they are, but they have a lot of opportunities coming up, the Lakers, to where they should be able to bring LeBron back to solidify things, not to save things, which is a massive distinction, right? Yeah. And I think the biggest takeaway here for me is LeBron should be available for any play-in or playoff games, which is obviously the main target for the Lakers.
Yeah, the update is he's coming back, and when he does come back, he's going to be fine, and he's going to be back sooner than later. That's what I'm getting out of that. That wasn't reevaluate, tweak in the process, ankle not responding, foot still sore, worked out yesterday, didn't go that well. You didn't get any of that, so looks like he is on the mend. NFL news here. Take what you want from this, because this stuff gets me excited. From Aaron Wilson, Cardinals DeAndre Hopkins trade market is headlined by the Buffalo Bills, per NFL sources. Five-time Pro Bowl selection has plenty of interest on the trade market, but financial expectations might impact any further interest from the Chiefs. Ravens, not among the bidders.
It's a joke.
Hold on, because I want to set this up for on a tee. Because do you see, this wasn't where the Ravens are going, like, yeah, you know, that's just not our philosophy to get, like, wide receivers. We spend elsewhere. But that actually intertwined into the Ravens are letting be known, like, we don't have any money for DeAndre Hopkins. That's what how I read that. Yeah. Not as, oh, it's not a good fit or this or that. That just basically says behind the scenes, we told you if we pay Lamar, we can't get anybody. So we're not going to pursue DeAndre Hopkins. Jeez.
I really can't believe the way that this team operates here. Because here's what I want to say with the teams that you just listed, the two that stand out to me alongside the Ravens are the Bills and the Chiefs. So what you can't do is pass this off as, look, man, Hopkins is probably washed, and realistically, it's a lot of desperate football teams trying to bring him in. No. It's the best teams in football that are trying to bring in DeAndre Hopkins. And the Ravens want none of that? Do you know how embarrassing that is? I have been harping on this for so long now. I have no idea why Lamar would ever want to be in Baltimore. Like, Baltimore should be like, man, the only way we're ever going to get this guy to agree to play another down is if we give him the craziest contract of all time. Because we're really giving him no real opportunities out here. Because every running back that's good is because they play next to Lamar. And we have zero wide receivers on our football team.
Well, I mean, also, how about this? Okay, a little bit of bad blood. And I'm because there's probably a knock because financial, you know, apologies, as I like to say, make up for a lot. Like, hey, Lamar, I know you hate us. We hate you. How about we get your fully guaranteed contract? Man, this is the place I always wanted to be. What a great sport. What a great team. Can't wait to get back. Having said that, how does this work out for Lamar? Hey, by the way, Lamar, you know we offered you more money than anybody else is going to give you out here. I'm just going to let you know ahead of time. The next 2 minutes, you're going to see Adam Schefter tweet out, we just traded for DeAndre Hopkins. Now, I know we're not going to probably meet your full demands, but you got a team ready to go, and I got you the best wideout you can possibly get on the open market. Come in tomorrow. Let's talk about it. See if we can maybe bridge a gap and see where your thoughts are at that point. Wouldn't that go more than you sitting out and basically saying to yourself, I'm going to waste our entire free agent process because I'm going to hold your money here until we don't have any money for anybody else if we have to sign you to this deal. Like, that doesn't go over well with a quarterback because, granted, Lamar Jackson wants his money. It's the same as anybody else, Kevin. But Lamar Jackson also wants him to be like, hey, you know what? Everybody else got a lot of money, too, and is still getting football players put around them.
I love that point by you. I absolutely do. The Ravens are doing nothing to make Lamar feel wanted. Like, oh, we got to get a new offensive coordinator in here, and Lamar's going to be a part of that. But by the way, the offensive coordinator's never once spoke to Lamar in his life. And Eric Bieniemy was out there, and he's now with Washington. Huh? Like, oh, there's a lot of wide receivers coming off of the board. The Ravens have been linked to precisely zero wide receivers. Yeah. Zero of them. Which, and again, like, this is the wildest part of this whole thing. Not only do I really believe Lamar should no longer want to play there, and I don't think he wants to play there, and it's, you know, maybe been, it's kind of been reported in a way that he doesn't want to play there, I'm not really sure Baltimore even wants this guy. Like, the Ravens might be like, man, we kind of keep the books clean and keep paying defensive guys and, you know, focus in on young quarterback. We'll be fine without Lamar. Like, how this is still going on is just so beyond me when it looks like neither side wants the other one.
They should have just went Vegas Raiders and be like, hey, by the way, we're just going to not even put a tag on him and let him go get the open market. We'll see if he wants to come back to us when we try to match it. Because if Lamar hit the open market, we wouldn't have to worry about offer sheets coming in. Lamar would be going from city to city, racking up contracts and being like, hey, you know what? This is the place I actually want to be. And Baltimore going like, oh, well, we'll match. Yeah, good luck with that. Mm-hmm. Like, it almost is to the point where the Ravens don't want Lamar Jackson, but we're not dumb enough to think like, well, hey, if somebody's going to sign him, we'll get the two first-round picks. And everybody's going like, no. We're not doing your legwork, and you're not getting any picks here. Like, it's like a disaster scenario. It is.
Okay, but to give the Ravens one compliment, actually, and this is the different, like, the Ravens, I think, would still mostly qualify as a very well-ran organization. And here's the difference. They're not going to allow themselves to be the Raiders. The Raiders lose Derek Carr, get nothing for it. They're like, look, we don't want Lamar, and he doesn't want us, but in zero world does he walk into that building, and we're not getting multiple first-round picks. Because they're competent. Because imagine they lost Lamar for nothing. They automatically become the worst franchise in football until further notice. You can't lose Lamar for nothing. And they're too well ran to allow that to happen.
Yes. But I was just being almost like facetious in that point, going, well, if you really don't want him, just get rid of him and move on and spend money elsewhere.
Yeah.
But the fact that there's a legitimate chance that they could just ruin their entire offseason and they're like laughing behind closed doors is that's what they wanted. Like, you're really going to go in the next year with Huntley at your quarterback because you know what's going to happen. Month is going to go by. The draft is going to go by. The Miami Dolphins aren't calling because if that was the whole end game, like, oh, Dolphins going to, you know, call you after the draft because they have two first rounds. It's like, no, that's right. Why they have Tua Tagovailoa and re-upped them. If they didn't, you would know something was up at that point. But now you're going to have the worst case scenario is a disgruntled player. He's not coming back to play for $32 million. Quite frankly, he might not have been coming back on the franchise tag and just never signed it and said, you're either going to pay me or I'm going to sit out and carry this into next year, where nobody wins at that point. Lamar loses, the Ravens lose altogether. That's what I'm waiting to see, because if you're far apart on the money, it's apparent they're not going to meet halfway. And I would love the Ravens to go, hey, well, we tagged him and we expect him to be here for $32 million. That's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah,
It is a bit of a shame that we have two superstar quarterbacks likely, almost assuredly on the move this offseason, but we've not really been able to sink our teeth into the finality of it in Rodgers and Lamar. Instead, we're left with this, like, you know, kind of fatigue around two guys where, again, like, I kind of had a moment, I think you maybe as well, where it's like, ah, this actually isn't Rodgers' fault as much as we thought it was, that this deal isn't done yet. And, you know, look, how much is Lamar to blame here? To some degree, sure, right? Like, there's always ownership in the process for the player, but it's just, we're going to be talking Lamar and Rodgers' landing spots for at least, like, another month or two, it feels, and it's just going to get to a point where it's just going to be a major eye roll.
No, it is, and I just also wish Lamar had an agent, because I do think they would help facilitate a move in or out of Baltimore. You'd be able to hear more information about what's going on. Like, the agent would leak to a prominent beat writer, hey, look, man, came back at the Ravens. Ravens, there's no budge. The Ravens aren't moving off it. That's where we stand. As opposed to a smiling or a laughing or a crying emoji out of Lamar, because he's the agent. Ha, ha, ha. What does that mean, Lamar? What do you mean? Like, share with us. Like, yeah. Tell somebody. And when is his one-on-one interview where he just blasts the Ravens? Is that coming up soon?
Yeah, I don't know. Is that when he, like, Lamar's going to end up with the greatest 30 for 30 of all time at this, with the way things are transpiring here. I'm all about the solo Lamar interview, sit down by himself. He should do it like an SNL sketch. He's like the interviewer and the interviewee or something like that.
Just like puts on dreadlocks in one scene, the other scene he doesn't have the dreadlocks. You know, I mean, just answering questions back and forth to himself, acting like it's not himself. Be tremendous stuff.
Throws on a blazer to ask the questions. Exactly. I mean, you know, it's,
one guy's in a t-shirt, one guy's in a blazer. Sure,
not work out that way. Listen, we've seen mixtures like that plenty of times, and it comes off great.
And also, you don't need that Lamar Jackson. Like, please, something like the Colts. Let's just say it's the Colts. Are we down to the Colts, it feels like? Is that what it is? Or could in the middle of the night, like, the Jets just pivot out of nowhere? Like, you know what? Forget this. We're ready to win, and I'm going after Lamar Jackson. Because, quite frankly, I'd rather see Lamar Jackson, a Jet, than Aaron Rodgers, just because of the longevity chance. I think it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But are we down to the Colts, and the Colts are just, like, lukewarm?
Yeah, I guess it's just, again, the only positive of the Colts is that we can't rule the Colts out, apparently. Like, that's what the Colts' big advantage has been in this market here. But I actually, like, if Lamar is going to do this all through Twitter, can he start tweeting at, like, at Colts, are you calling Hopkins? Like, you know what I mean? Can we get, at Colts, how's Michael Pittman looking in camp? At Colts, what are we thinking at four overall? Like, can we get stuff like that going?
Yeah, like, at Colts, I just missed your call. Give me 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, just stir it up.
Oh, no doubt.
So we can get something to get after.
Now, him tweeting out, wow, didn't expect that call.
Yes.
Like, give me a minute.
Yeah.
Now, that would be super vague, but, like, how, like, man, just got off the phone with Jerry. That was interesting.
Yeah.
Now Twitter explodes.
Yes, or just something like the Colts would put out, like, a highlight of, like, Jonathan Taylor, like, rehabbing. And then, like, Lamar hits you with the eye emoji. Like, whoa. You know what I mean? Like, that would be good stuff. But also, one last point on Lamar. Here's what I'm waiting for, I need, Kevin. Colts, sign him to an offer sheet. Then Lamar does the interview and just blast the Ravens and the city. Doesn't want anything to do with them. And it's like, you know what? This is the, I had to go scorched earth to get out of the Ravens. I love Baltimore. I love the my teammates. But this is business now. I go, hey, what do you think about the Ravens? They better not accept that. They accept, you know, if they accept the offer, I'm not even showing up. Like, I can't stand that place. Exactly. I'm going to retire. You know, I even talked to Aaron Rodgers. We might get a podcast going. We might both retire at the same time. You know, I need that, because that's what he'll have to do. Because if you want to dissuade your organization, Kevin, from signing you, start bad-mouthing them live on the air.
Yeah, we need that. We need that. That's the energy. It's at this point, but that's the direction we're going. It does seem.
Yeah.
There's bad blood and fallout. And, man, we got to make sure wherever he goes, Baltimore's on the schedule.
Exactly. It takes me back to 2020 on the grid when I wasn't here yet. And K-Dub, bad mouth in the grid.
Wow.
Get out of here. I mean,
come on. Don't do that.
I had to talk him back off the ledge behind
don't
the scenes, people. We will be back. Hour number one about to be wrapped up. JP, he's on the hot seat. Come on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get after it here. One quick segment before the top of the hour, we find out where JP's going. Now, JP, what'd you do last night? What happened here? Win, loss, tie?
Win, I took the Nuggets on the spread.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. He did take that. Nuggets.
Oh, nice.
Nice game out of Jokic yesterday. Had a nice NBA night. Now, tonight, oh, man, ooh, there are some odds boosts. Tonight, where are we going, JP? College basketball, NBA, parlay. What do we got?
Yeah, it's college basketball season, and why pick one of the games when I could just parlay them all for tonight?
Whoa! Did I just hear that correctly here? We're going to parlay every game tonight.
Four sides?
Man.
It's all money line, but yeah, four sides.
Oh.
That's good ROI, too. That's not like you're laying, like, you know, 14 points, which are just taking the money line. That's a nice paying one. Michigan State, Kansas State, Arkansas, Connecticut, Florida Atlantic, Tennessee, Gonzaga, UCLA.
So what's our guess approach here? Because we obviously know all of the games. We just have to, like, do you want to take turns? Because I don't know.
All the higher seeds?
I think each game's going to have its own rhyme or reason. No?
I think JP is going Michigan State, UConn, Tennessee, and I'll go Gonzaga. He's going to go. That's
I think he's going to be on FAU. Is like my
money line. Wow.
Yeah, like that'll be my big prediction. Is that the parlay will include FAU?
That's yeah, because I could see the parlay including FAU non money line, but money line might
be tough because that pumps it up. That pumps it up. That's how you get that big payday there. Right, if that's the goal, and if you're parlaying, that probably is the goal, right?
Like here's what JP is going to do: Kansas State, Connecticut, Florida Atlantic, Gonzaga, 9-1, 9-1. Yeah, yo, there you go, winners coming up in hour number two. It's getting closer, people, to tip off. Four games tonight, four games tomorrow. JP is going crazy. He's going to parlay four games. Which four is he going to parlay? Come on back and find out. Hour number two up next. Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.